Welcome to our Tuesday night Bible study. I'm David, and this is my lovely wife, Joanna. There's the Queen's wave, and she's going to come, and we're going to co-teach tonight. We're going to talk about an exciting subject called Angel Wars. Angel Wars. And we're in a live audience tonight. Everybody say hello.
Hello.
So we're going to have a good time tonight. And I don't know if you know this, but when you were born, you were dropped from your mother's womb into this world right smack dab in the middle of an angel war. And the sooner you realize you are in an angel war between good and darkness, and that the war is over you, your soul, and every person on the planet.
And your children.
Because we're all made in the image and likeness of
God.
So the devil does not like you. You think you were hated when you were born. Wait till you get born again. They'll hate you even more. The good news is God loves you and me and the non-believer just the way we are. But he loves us way too much to leave us in our current condition. And he's anointed and appointed us to get the word out, to let people know we're in the middle of an angel war.
Well, and he's also equipped us, like we were praying earlier before we started, he's equipped us with the Holy Spirit, with the supernatural. So when we have the Holy Spirit, we're operating the Holy Spirit, we become like superheroes because we have the supernatural of God and he manifests that through us because Jesus said, greater things will you do than what I did.
Because I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, I'm going to empower you, I'm going to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and lead captivity captive, I'm going to spill my blood on the mercy seat, and I'm going to send you the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to clear the way for miracle signs and wonders to increase, and people say, well, you know, how can you believe you're going to do greater works than Jesus? Only because he said it. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. So John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14 said, Jesus says, those that believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. Even greater works than these will you do because I go unto the Father. Well, the greatest work that can ever be accomplished is the work of salvation. And Jesus, when he died on the cross and was raised from the dead, salvation came unto all men who will receive it. So that's the greatest miracle. But there's also miracle signs and wonders that Jesus never is recorded doing that the apostles are recorded doing. Peter's shadow began to heal the sick. Jesus set the standard when people would reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Virtue would go out. Dunamis power would release from the hem of his garment and they would be healed. The woman's issue of blood for 18 years, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, is loosed from her infirmity, and immediately the blood issue dried up because virtue went out of him. She reached out and touched him by faith, and her faith made her whole. God's wanting us to reach out and touch him by faith, and those greater works will be done. So Peter's shadow healed the sick in Acts chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. He just walked through the city, and people didn't have to touch the hem of his garment, because greater works than these will you do, because I go unto the Father. He's got an ever-expanding kingdom. He always saves the best wine for the last, and I've got news for you. We're in the last days, and he's got the best wine that he saved for the last. The book of Acts will look like a Presbyterian picnic compared to the end time of what we're going to be able to do in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Joanna? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I've been working in our garden, and I've been pulling up these weeds. And it is, a couple weeks ago, I pulled up these massive roots of this plant. I mean, literally, it was like this. And there was three of them. And so I went on the garden yesterday, and there's another one growing there. And I had pulled it up by the roots. But this time it was easier But what the Lord's been highlighting to me is, because I've been collecting seeds, you know, seeds from different organic veggies and that kind of thing. Well, if you look at a seed of from a bell pepper, they're like minuscule, right? They're tiny. And so the Lord's been highlighting the scripture that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, so if you look at a little teeny tiny seed and you think, that's all we have to have, because that little seed of that mustard seed is going to go, and so that's all we have to start with. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you tonight that to think about and reflect on that, you know, where are you at in your faith and what kind of seed does it look like right now? Is it a big seed? Has it sprouted? And then seek God for more, because all we got to start with is that little tiny thing.
And by the way, that's a great point. The seeds, you may not know what they are when you look at them if you haven't studied, you know, horticulture. And if you look at that seed, you're like, well, what is that? Oh, well, that's a bell pepper. There's no way that's a bell pepper. What is that? It's an acorn. No, it's an oak tree. It's all in how you see it. Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing. You can count how many oranges are on an orange tree. You can. But you can't count how many orange trees are inside of an orange.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you might be able to count how many souls a person gets saved in a service, but you can't count how many people that may get saved through that one vessel that got saved in a service. The next Billy Graham or the next Reinhard Bunke might have just got saved. Pretty exciting, huh? So you might lead one to Christ, and the next thing you know, they're going to lead tens of thousands or millions to Christ. You know, you may not even like the names of the people I just mentioned, but you can't deny the fact that God won a bunch of souls through them.
Well, and the other cool thing is that as we deposit seeds wherever we go, so with our words, what we're speaking, what we say to someone, how we smile, how we respond to them, wherever we're at, we're depositing those little seeds. And so in those seeds, in the people, that's what's going to sprout in the kingdom as well, because down the road, they're going to get saved. And then someone else is going to get saved through their ministry, and it just, and we don't even realize, we don't know until we're in heaven exactly how, what kind of an amazing forest we have because of the seeds that we planted here on earth.
So let's just start as a topical. Angel Wars, has anyone ever told you that when you were born into this earth, you came out of your mother's womb onto the scene of a full-blown angel war? A war between good and evil, God and Satan, angels of darkness and angels of light. And did you know what the war is over? This angel war is over you, over your soul, over the souls of children, and over the souls of human and mankind all over the planet who are made in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1:26. Welcome to the war. The sooner you realize you're in the middle of a war and that you are the prize, the faster you can align yourself with heaven and help others avoid hell. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John 10:9. In the next verse, John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have that they might have it more abundantly. So here's the angel war. One is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The other one comes to give life and to give it more abundantly. If you're in a church where there's not life and life more abundantly being given through the messages, it's just guilt, shame, and condemnation instead of conviction that brings people to repentance that sets them free, you have to question the spirit behind the message.
Mm-hmm.
Amen or out?
Amen.
Because Jesus comes to give life and to give it more abundantly. He comes to give joy and to set the captives free. If you're in a signless and a wonderless church, you have to wonder whether or not Jesus is behind the message or if he's manifestly present, because when he walks into the room, things happen. The atmosphere shifts when he enters the room. And if you carry him through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies And these signs will follow them who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If those things are not happening to some degree where salvations and freedom and deliverance and liberation and emancipation from the bondage of the thief that only comes to steal, kill, destroy, and oppress, you have to wonder what spirit is behind the message. Because religion is part of the dark side of the angel war. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil has a good side and a bad side. Both of them produce death, according to the scripture. Mm-hmm. But the tree of life is Christ. And when you eat of this tree and you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. It will become in you a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. And that's when you walk around in the midst of an angel war where you see all the things on the news and there's something on the inside of you that says, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. Hey, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. And when you're around people, the joy of the Lord is upon you. You have the peace of God that bypasses your understanding, and that's how you know you're aligned with the correct kingdom, because you have the fruit of the king and the kingdom. Jesus, in Luke 10:21, it says that he rejoiced in spirit. The original language in the Koine Greek, the word rejoiced in spirit in Luke 10:21, is two Greek words. We won't go into them, but they basically conjunct together and they mean this. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. The actual translation would be, he rejoiced in spirit, or he twirled about with a reckless abandon. And David danced before the ark of the Lord. So Jesus was full of joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. One of the keys that you can tell you're aligned with the correct kingdom, because a tree is known by a fruit, by its fruit, and wisdom is justified by its children. Every seed brings back its own kind. We have the seed of Christ in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And if any man or woman be in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. The original language on new creation is the word a new species of being. You get born from above. You get the DNA, not of Adam, who fell from grace and was given das food out of the garden for eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you get the DNA of Christ, the tree of life. The divine nature of the Almighty comes to dwell inside of you and me. That's how you know you're aligned with the correct kingdom. Mm-hmm. Jesus is not the spirit of depression and depravity. Jesus is not the spirit of despair. He's not the spirit of... He is the spirit of truth, of life. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man goes to the Father except by me. If any man be in me, he's a new creation. Even as God was in Christ reconciling the world back unto himself, even so now, it's Christ in you and has committed unto you the ministry of reconciliation, or the ability to preach the message of the joy of Jesus unto others. When you see somebody that's messed up, tangled up, tied up in sin, your first reaction is where you're at with the Lord. If your first reaction is that old stinking sinner, they're unsavable, they're depraved, I need to stay away from them, I'm going to the other side of the street, it tells you where you're at in your love level and your anointing level and the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Because Jesus was a friend of sinners. He didn't sin. And he was a friend of sinners, and when he got around sinners, they got free. Yeah. But religion will push people away. Relationship with the Lord will draw people out of their sin. So grace is not a license to sin. Grace is an empowerment to get free from sin. We're in an angel war. Who are you aligned with? There's two ministries that go on before the throne of God, day and night. There are two ministries. One is the ministry of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hebrews 7:24-25. Jesus forever lives to make intercession for the saints of God. He's able to save to the uttermost and the guttermost, those that come to God by him. So day and night, Jesus lives to make intercession. Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. While Stephen's getting stoned to death, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Wow. That's being filled with the Spirit. The apostles didn't have that initially. Lord, do you want us to call fire from heaven on them? They didn't receive us. We've got a spirit of rejection. We don't like the fact that they didn't receive us. Oh, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. Forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive others. For if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Forgiveness releases the grace and the kingdom of God. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. We're going to get into some scriptures on this, but you're in an angel war. So one ministry, the ministry of Jesus, and if we're aligned with him and the angels, we'll have a ministry of intercession. The other ministry goes on before the throne of God day and night is the ministry by the devil. It is the ministry of accusation. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 and 12. For the accuser of the brethren, the devil, has been cast down, who accused the saints of God before the throne of God day and night. We might be able to come boldly before the throne of grace, 1 Corinthians 4:16, that we might obtain mercy and grace in the time of need. We can approach the throne of grace boldly. When you approach, are you approaching in the ministry of Jesus as an intercessor in behalf of those that have wronged you? Or are you approaching the throne of grace in alignment with the dark angel by the name of Lucifer that took a third of the angels with him with the ministry of accusation? They did this and they did that and they did this. Get him, God, call fire from heaven. You know, imprecatory psalms, you're after him. You're like, Lord, give me your heart for them. I don't see it. I'm wounded now. Lord, heal me. Let me see it from your perspective. And then all of a sudden, he shows you why they did the things they did. Sometimes it might be partially your fault. You have to take ownership, have to accept responsibility, repent of that, come out of agreement, renounce it, resist it, and then say, Lord, now let me see what else that I could not see. What you didn't know is this is what happened to them as a child, or they lost a parent, or they lost somebody to cancer, and this is why they hate God. The devil tricked them. Oh, Lord, I had no idea that hurting people hurt people, wounded people wound people. Lord, have mercy on them. Bring them salvation like you did me. Fill me with a love level to the next level that I have, overcoming faith. I can reach down and pour in the waters of refreshing. Because right now I've only got a ladle full, but you said I'd have rivers of living water flowing from within me, because I know now that I'm in an angel war. And that man or that woman, they're in an angel war and they don't know it, and they've inadvertently aligned themselves with the liar, the thief that only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've chosen to align myself with the great intercessor Jesus, who comes to give life and to give it more abundantly. Because, yeah.
Yeah, so I was watching this testimony of this woman who worked in a hospital, and she was a nurse there, and one of the other managers, who was very, very difficult to work with. And the other nurses didn't like her. She was very abrupt. She did not have a good bedside manner with the patients or anything. And then this particular nurse, she ended up having a near-death experience, and God took her to heaven. And then he showed her life and, you know, all the things that she had done that mattered in that moment. And then he brought her to the scene with the nurse and how he showed her the nurse's life and this manager, what had happened to her, the incredible abuse she had suffered as a child. And the Lord told her it was a miracle that she was actually as normal as she was because of what she had gone through. And the Lord showed her where this nurse, she could have said different things and not responded in her flesh in different moments. And God told her, it's that moment that matters in heaven.
Repeat that.
It's that moment that matters in heaven of what you did and what you said or didn't say. And that, boy, she was convicted. And so she came back, he brought her back to earth, and then she began to love that woman with intention, despite what that woman had done to her, and was able to win her over. So that really struck me. It's what you do in that moment that counts in heaven. What you say or didn't say.
I remember there was a Satanist in prison. I can't remember his name now. I put him in my book, Ride to Hell, Journey to Freedom, which is available on Amazon. And we just finished it in audio format, so we're going to be putting that up along with other books. And so it's a long book. It's about 16 hours on audio. And it is really powerful, and the Holy Spirit has prompted me to write an epilogue chapter. Because I wrote this book about 6 or 7 years ago. We donated a lot of copies into the prisons. And in a prison, when you send a copy in, paperback, the prisoners will pass that book around. And people will get in line, specifically in county jails, and they'll fill out a list of when they're at in the line to get access to that book. And they have time on their hands. So of the books that we donated, about 20 to 30 prisoners will read each book. But we estimate that about the 16,500 copies that we donated were read, somewhere around 500,000 inmates have read those books. They read them till the covers fall off, and sometimes the covers fall off. They're like, does anybody have chapter 42? You know, like, what happened in chapter 42? I'm missing it, you know. So anyway, so that is done, and it's also on tablets in about 150 prisons, reaching about 100,000 prisoners, along with 5 others of my books. But it's going to be out on audio, and we're right in the middle of book to movie, so we're negotiating on that story. Keep that in prayer so that it's God's way of doing it with the angels, and not get tricked by, you know, a slick looking dark angel that's posing as an angel of light masquerading. So yeah, and I don't know why, how did I get on that? Oh yeah, so in my book, there's this guy, so he was a Satanist, and he was foul. He was a white guy, and he loved heavy metal rock and roll music, and he was foul. He used to call me, hey, what do you call me? Christian boy. Hey, Christian boy, I want to talk to you. And he'd come over, and he was kind of a smaller guy, beard, and he just was so disgusting, mean, said disparaging things about our Savior. And he would then speak in tongues with the demonic realm, with witchcraft. And I could feel it start to come toward me, and I had to shake it off. And so one day I'm asking the Lord about him, and the Lord says, I want you to intercede for him. He says, but I do not want you to witness the gospel to him at this time. And I said, what do you mean? He says, I do not want you to speak to him about Jesus, be polite to him, but do not share the gospel with him. Thinking, this is kind of a crazy word we're supposed to be preaching. Do you know, the Bible really, I think, gives an indication that we are to preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, we're supposed to use words. When necessary, use words. Sometimes we preach it with our mouth, but people look at our lifestyle, they can't believe about our message. Because people practice daily what they really believe. Everything else is just religious rhetoric.
Well, it's like that businessman, for those of you online that don't know, we finished the final funding round for Africa, so.
Yeah, so we did a 3-bedroom house over there. We have a ministry center over there with Israel Agri Ministries. And we purchased all the internal refrigerators, stove,
water well,
yeah, security fence, beds,
electricity installation, painting, everything.
So we had an opportunity to get all the accoutrements, including security and water and generators and air conditioning units, for $20,000. And the Holy Spirit said to me, take the deal. And I'm like, we don't really have the $20,000. But I know when I hear God speak. So I told him, I said, go ahead and get it. And they gave him, because Israel's been over there for 45 years. He's well known. So they extended him credit on.
So based on his good name, the owner agreed to let us make installments and payments to pay it off.
And then no money came in.
Right. And then we're like, Lord, you said. But here's what I was getting to, is that Dave was just talking about let our actions speak more than our mouth. And because we paid off the business owner, God raised the money, he is now becoming Christian. Because he said to Israel Agre, our missionary, you are the first man who says he's a Christian that has followed through on his word. Yeah. That's a sad statement.
Yeah. You know, you get saved under some people's ministry, you have to backslide instantly just to get into fellowship with them. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. So I'm in prison, and so this guy, really, really demonic, and, you know, just foul. And I did time with a lot of foul guys, but this guy was next level foul, right? But see, I didn't know the pain he was in. And he had money that would come in. He'd go max out, you know, to commissary. So he had, you know, stole the things of the world. And finally, so he comes up to me. He says, hey, he says, Christian boy, he says, I got a question about the Bible. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't answer any questions about the Bible. He says, oh, you're supposed to answer questions about the Bible. That's your job. I said, not with you, it's not. He said, what do you mean? I said, the Holy Spirit told me not to talk to you about Jesus, God, or the Bible, and not to answer any Bible questions. Well, that's not right. But see, God had a plan. Uh-huh. And so what happened was, what I didn't know is he was about to be cut off financially. So now he doesn't have batteries for his radio. He doesn't have extra commissary money. He can't buy anybody anything to buy favor or curry favor with anybody. Now he's a liability, not an asset. Now he has his hand out like this with the palm up, instead of giving people things with the palm down. Everything reversed. And God had an appointed day to confront him. Here's what happened. Turns out he had AIDS. And they wouldn't send him to a medical facility. And he was 10 days in bed. And he couldn't get out of bed. He was so weak. And they hadn't dictated him to another facility. And he stank, because he had cancer and he had AIDS, and he couldn't get up to go to the shower because he was so weak, so he had those other smells. And so his three roommates in a four-man cell were disgusted with him, didn't want to do anything, and plus he wasn't a kind guy to start with. And so the Holy Spirit told me in a dream, the Lord spoke to me in a dream, to go give him a ramen noodle soup, in a cup, a soda pop, a bag of chips, a candy bar, and some batteries for his radio. And so what happened was, and to bring him a book on prayer. It's a small little book. It's about 30 pages. And so I went over, and he was frail because he'd lost so much weight at this point. He was a bag of bones. And when I got near him, I smelled that cancer. And cancer has a very unique smell. And so I set those things down there. And I went to work, and I came back a few hours later for lunch. And when I came back through, he was up sitting in the chair. The soup was empty in the trash can, so were the potato chips. And he was eating the candy bar and drinking the soda. And he said, hey, Christian boy, you left me this, didn't you? And I'm thinking, you know, what is this about, you know? I said, yeah, I did. He said, why'd you do that? I said, because God told me to in a dream. He said, please come in here, sit down. I want to talk to you. The Lord said, nah. And he had the book open. He'd read half the book. And then he told me what had happened to him, that he had AIDS and cancer, and he got it from intravenous drug use. Here's what happened. While he was asleep, he was listening with the batteries that he had to heavy metal rock and roll, a song that he liked to play. And all of a sudden, the song shut off, and he heard the audible voice of God say to him, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he said, I pulled my headphones off. I said, who said that? Everybody was asleep. And he said, they told me to shut up and go back to bed. And he said, I put my headphones back on. The song was going. He says, but I'd never heard a voice like that. And he said, it made me think, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He says, I always did unto others as I thought they deserved to have done unto them. And he said, but it shifted my thinking. And he says, I wake up after this dream and there's a soup and a candy bar and potato chips and batteries for my radio and this book. So I started reading this book on prayer. And he said, because of the way you've been polite to me, he says, I want your Jesus.
Wow. Amen.
And I took a friend of mine and we went into the prayer closet. It was actually the mop closet. We called it the prayer closet. It was the Holy of Holies. It's not like mops in there. And he had AIDS and he had fecal matter on his fingers. And the Lord said, you hold his hands and you pray with him and you curse that cancer and you curse AIDS. You command that to dry up and to die and get out of his body in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that cancer smell and the fecal matter smell was on my hands as I held hands with him. We have to love people where they're at. You know, shepherds, we call ourselves pastors, but a shepherd was not esteemed highly in Israel because they had to hang out with the sheep that would sometimes have to carry the sheep on their shoulders, and sheep didn't always smell the best. And so shepherds that are willing to get close enough to the sheep to risk smelling like I'm a real shepherd. The rest just may just have a pastoral degree. Just something to think about. Just think. And so in those moments, you have to make the difference. So I curse that cancer in the name of Jesus. I commanded you to drive and to die, and I curse the spirit of infirmity, and I commanded AIDS to dry up and die. Well, some of you have felt that go through you online. Cancer and AIDS, I command you to dry up and to die. And get out of that body right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of infirmity, go from them and do not return. Ocular degeneration, I command you to reverse and to regenerate. Kidneys, I command you to come back on now and to function. There's something called like a ureter or something, I don't know what it is, but it's been blocked. I command it to open right now. I see it in the kidney. It's like blocked. I command that to open right now. In the name of Jesus, testicular cancer, I curse you out of this body, and I command restoration to come. Come out of agreement with the things that open the door to that right now. Just renounce it and denounce them. Lord's just rolling away reproach and restoring unto you the joy of your salvation. He's doing miracles in eyes right now, cataracts, cloudiness in the eyes. We break your power over them and we command the eyes to be clean. The single-minded eye of Christ. Amen and amen. Do you have anything? These are words of knowledge we get. We see them as we're praying. We don't pre-plan this stuff. Matter of fact, it's not part of my message. Yeah.
Stomach problems.
Yeah, I saw that. This is part of the rest of the message. So stomach problems, we command you to be resolved right now in the name of Jesus. Digestive tract issues, be made whole. You've said words like, I can't stomach this. You've said words like, this makes me sick. And you said it with emphasis. Come out of agreement with it. Ask the Lord to fill you with his love regarding the situation. Let him show you how he sees it from his perspective. From heaven down with the motion picture of redemption. He's a redeemer. Don't get caught up on the snapshot. While we were yet still sinners, the snapshot, Christ died for us, for the motion picture. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, this is the rest of the story. Good job. So as this man, he came off that deathbed where he had eaten, he had an appetite after he'd had the dream and the food was there. And then God did a physical miracle in his body, and he gained about 18 pounds suddenly over the next couple of weeks, and then they dictated him to a medical facility. And I saw him in a dream about 2 months later, and he had a digestive problem, and he literally was putting his fingers like this on his stomach, and he'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had like baby tongue, you know, and instead of like undarama shingi reboko, he was like undaraba, undaraba. And it was like putting his finger, and he was doing what had been role model for him when he felt the power of God and the lightning come through him in that prayer closet. That was like 1991, maybe 1992. I was a young believer, a couple years old in the Lord. And since then, we've been fortunate to see AIDS healed, blind eyes open, deaf ears pop open, cancer vanish, dental miracles. My dad died at 90, and we were able to invoke the name of Jesus and raise him back from death to life in front of my mother, and he lived 6 more years. And he didn't live in a wheelchair. He actually went out. He was a National Masters Diving Champion. He went on. 3 months later, he won 3 gold medals, diving 10-meter tower. He's continued to dive 10-meter tower until he was 92, 3-meter springboard until he's 93. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. I speak to those who think they're elderly, who think they're degenerating. I command the mind of dementia and Alzheimer's and any sort of Parkinson's to be removed. I command heavy metals in the brain to dissolve and to flash out by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Make all things new. And he turns it around. He renews your youth like the eagle. Eagles beat off their beaks and have to grow a new one. But from the time they beat their beak off on a rock and the new one grows, several months, and they have to molt, and they can't even fly, and other eagles get around them and feed them because they can't hunt. And then other eagles who've been through the molting process come and support them. God's sending you other eagles while you're in this season. You're going to come back stronger with a bigger beak, stronger beak. You're going to have longer feathers, greater talons. You're going to have that thing that comes over the eagle's eye after he's been through, where he can fly directly into the rain and directly into the sun, and no fowler can follow him because he's been restored. His youth is renewed like the eagle's with a new beak. And he becomes stronger. But he'll never make it through unless other eagles come to help him or her. So we release those that are assigned to you to come lift you up like Aaron and Hur lifted up the arms of Moses when the battle raged and they defeated their enemies. Angel wars. And so I saw him in the dream. But he picked it up, but he was still, you know, heavier. You know, not heavier, but stronger. So never count anybody out as unredeemable, as foul as they are. Because remember this, at one time you were foul too. Oh, not you. Well, Jesus said this, your righteousness is as filthy rags apart from me. That word filthy rags is the word menstrual rags. You like the Hebrew? Isn't that pleasant? So that's what our righteousness is out of the tree of the knowledge of good and the good side. Our best works on our best day apart from him is a bloody rag. Well, that's sobering, isn't it? So don't look down upon people unless you're leaning over to pick them up, because you're in an angel war and so are they. And they need the redemption that God graced you with, and the only way they're going to get it, how will they hear unless a preacher is sent? Blessed are the feet that carry the gospel of good tidings unto the poor. So Jesus said, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Who are you aligned with? The one who sins, or the one who destroys the work of the devil to set the captives free? Let's look at an Old Testament example of an angel battle that took place during the days of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, verses 8 through 21. Therefore I was left alone, I, Daniel, and I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, he said. For my vigor was turned into frailty, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the words of the angel, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, Daniel 10:10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. When you get an encounter with the Lord, sometimes it'll make you shake. And he said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent unto you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, do not fear, Daniel. Daniel was on a 21-day fast. Some things you'll only get from God during times of prayer and fasting. Fasting is not required for your salvation, the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, it is given unto you for your benefit, that you might receive all the benefits of the covenant. Some things will only be accessed through pushaways. It's the four-letter words in Scripture. One of them is fast. The other one is love. The other one is pray. The other one is give. When you pray, when you fast, when you give. Notice you didn't say it. Just say it. Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. When? 21 days ago. You ever lose an Amazon package for 21 days? You'd be hot under the collar. What happened about Prime Fresh? I want my package. Where's the tracking number on that? I didn't get 21 days in prayer and fasting, and the angel was released on day one. But listen to what happened, angel. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. Men ought to always pray and not give up. Luke 18, Jesus said, there was an importunate, persistent widow that came before a wicked king who feared not God nor regarded man. But because of her continual persistence in coming, he says, I will avenge her of her adversary lest she weary me. Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father answer your prayers speedily if you pray and do not give up? But when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth, and will people have aligned themselves with the wrong angels of doubt and disbelief and participation trophies? We must persevere. Ask and it will be given, knock and seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. Those words are ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking. Those are present imperative tense words. Be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled. It's a constant repeated action. Then he says this in verse 20. Then he, the angel, said unto Daniel, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. Angel wars. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. The bottom line is, he knew that the angel knew he was going to have to go back to battle again. See, there's three heavens. There's the third heaven where God is at, the second heaven where principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places are at. And then there's the demonic realm, which is our realm. These are demons. And we are humans. Demons try to inhabit humans through open doors of sin. We cast out demons, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. Interesting. That's a whole nother conversation, whole nother doctrinal treatise on that. But when angels are released, when we have access to the throne of God from earth, and we stand before heaven in a dual estate, where we're seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, where in Christ Jesus, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and we are in Him. So we have dual citizenship. The devil does not. And the fallen angels in the second heaven don't have citizenship in the earth, but the demons do. Disembodied spirits, another conversation. Don't want to get into that. That's like a five-part teaching. Point is this. When you pray, angels are released, but they've got to get through the second heaven of the principalities and the powers. And our prayers will help break them free. And when your prayers are delayed, it's because you're in an angel. Sometimes it's not God delaying the answer, it's those in the second heaven.
Because the answer was already released.
Answer was already released, but the Prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. Then Michael the Archangel came and took over the battle. Then I was released to you. Men ought to always pray and not give up. Do not blame God when the prayer is not answered. The problem is never on God's side. It's on our side, or it's on the demonic side, where they're trying to get you weary to tap out. Because the devil was given authority for a season to wear the saints out. How many have felt worn out the last few years? He was given authority to wear the saints out for a times plus times and a half plus a times. That's 3.5 years. We're in year 3. The turnaround's coming. You ready for this?
The greatest show on earth is yet to come.
Yeah, listen to this. Isaiah 37, verses 33 through 38. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow here, nor come before it with a shield, nor build a siege around about it. But by way that he came, by the same way he shall return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. You can look like you're done dealing. You're completely surrounded, and you don't have the weaponry. But if you pray unto the Lord, He'll put a shield of favor and a shield and a hedge of protection around you, where the king of Assyria, the wicked king that's aligned himself with the wrong angels in the angel war, and he doesn't know, he's messing with the king's kid. By the way that he came, the same way he will return, he shall not come into this city. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 35, for I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Get ready. Angel wars. Isaiah 37, verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 men. There's times when angels are given authority to bring death to humankind. When their sins have reached full measure, when their iniquities have raised full measure. We're in a time right now in the world where people's wickedness has grown so bad that you're going to see people drop dead. And you're going to wonder why. You're going to see it because we're in an angel war. You're not going to be the one doing it. God's going to be the one cleaning house because He's given people time and time and time and time and time to repent because God is so merciful. And people have done such wicked things against the covenant and against God, and they've mocked Him, and He persecuted God's people, and God finally says, enough is enough. He who being often reproved and yet hardeneth his neck shall be destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29, I think 1 and 2. So the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. They did not have to fight this battle. What's been before shall be again. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away and returned home and remained at Nineveh. Looks like he got away with it, doesn't it? He just lost 185,000 men. Let me reboot the system. Let me raise up another army. I'll go get those Jews next time. Nope, that's not how it happened. Now it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his false god, that his own sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. There's coming a time in this angel war where you who've aligned with God, you're going to see the destruction of the wicked. We don't take pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, but rather that the wicked repent. God takes no pleasure in that. But when it starts to happen, you're going to go, whoa, that was God. Whoa, what happened there? Don't rejoice in that. Pray that God saves some out of the purification process and out of the fire. Because hell's for eternity. Psalm 73:3. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's a kingdom believer acknowledging that he's envious of the prosperity of the wicked. Have you ever felt that? They got the Mr. T starter kit, the Rolex watch, they're driving a nice car, they got the Brioni suit, they got it going on, they got the nice house, they're eating at the five-star restaurant, and you're working at the five-star. And they're arrogant and they're proud. And you're like, Lord, why do the wicked prosper? God is getting ready to do a great transference of wealth. One of the ways he's going to do it is through the born-again experience of people that are wealthy. It's not going to change bank accounts. It's not going to change EIN numbers or social security numbers or bank account numbers. It's going to change out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, because they're going to switch which side of the angel where they're on, and they're going to utilize their kingdom money, which just got snatched out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And they're going to want to do the right thing with it, because they're going to be so appreciative of the Lord that he emancipated them out of darkness and set them free. So I'm going to close out now. And just know this, Daniel 11:32. Those that do wickedly against the covenant shall the devil corrupt with flattery. But those people who do know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Signs and wonders are ordained for you, because greater works will you do than these, because he goes unto the Father. Peter's shadow healed the sick. Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from his body and sent out. They cast out devils and healed the sick. The glory of the Lord is coming into the earth. One final verse of scripture. It's Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord, the kabod, the manifest, tangible, weighty presence of the Lord, where when God arises, his enemies are scattered, is risen upon thee, O child of the king. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you like Moses' face shone with the glory of God. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your coming. God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. Zechariah 8:23. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeves of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. When you carry the answers, when you carry the presence, when you carry the nature, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ into the room, people will come to you like Jesus experience with Nicodemus by night, because they know you have the answers, they know you have the presence, they know that you have the wisdom. Like they came to Daniel as the king, and Daniel was found to be 10 times wiser than all the satraps, magicians, and enchanters, because he had the genius mind of heaven, and you have the genius mind of Christ. So you're in an angel war. Align yourself with the fruit of the Spirit. And don't partner, come out of agreement with any partnership with the deeds of darkness. And don't worry about the wicked that are prospering. Win them to Jesus, the wicked become righteous. And now the money can be used to liberate people instead of oppressing. Everybody's that I run around, people are cursing some of these Fortune 500 companies and multi-billion dollar companies. I'm like, why would you curse them? Just pray for the owners to get saved. Why are you going to curse a thing that God actually gifted them to do? They just didn't do it for him. Hugh Hefner, called to be an apostle, planted 1,000 pornography studios with his gift. Whatever you do without God, you must fail at miserably or succeed at it even more miserably. Mother Teresa, apostolic, planted 1,000 orphanages. Instead of praying that he'll be cursed, why don't you pray that he'll flip him and turn all of them into churches? Bless, don't curse. Curse cancer, curse demons, but bless the people because they're in an angel war and the wars over them align with the right kingdom. Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Judgment is coming. You're not going to have to do anything. The iniquities of the Amorites, Genesis 15:6, has reached full measure, 15:6 or 15:16. And when God pours out his wrath, there ain't nothing like the judgment of God. You can't get around that. You can't survive it. It's a horrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Pray for mercy while there's still space to repent. You're in an angel war, and you're aligned with the right kingdom to set the captives free. I'm David, with my lovely wife,
Joanna.
We are the Herobedians, virtualchurchmedia.com. Download the mobile app, and you have on-demand learning, accelerating growth from the palm of your hand, on-demand. Everything on there is at no cost. So we've got books, audiobooks, Joanna's worship music, podcasts,
teachings.
Oh, we have so much.
It's so robust. You guys have to get on that.
It's amazing, actually. It's an amazing app. Yeah, we really are. The Lord really anointed that. And so download the mobile app at virtualchurchmedia.com. Go to the Get the App. It's in the Apple Store and the Android Store. And it also has a one-year Bible on it, including an audio Bible. 6 translations of the Bible, including Spanish. And it's all at no cost. Somebody paid the price for it, though.
They paid it forward.
They paid
so
it forward.
So pray about praying something forward as well and to ministry so we can pay it forward even better.
That's right. Jesus paid the price for you, for have salvation for free, but now that you've got it, you want to pay it forward with other people by sharing the love of God. We're going to close out. We've already really prayed during the time for healing, but if you've never accepted Jesus like that man, do unto others as he would have them do unto you. And you heard that audible voice. Today is your hour. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, I stand in the door and knock. Jesus says, if any man opens, I will come in. We'll have a table of peace together. You don't eat with your enemies, you eat with your friends. Jesus wants to be your friend. Will you invite him in? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You hear him knocking. The door handle's on the inside. Open it up, and he'll come in and have a table of peace with you. The gospel is simple. Jesus was hung up for your hang-ups 2,000 years ago on the cross. He could have called for 10,000 angels in an angel war, but he chose not to. Instead, he gave his life for you and me on the tree. His blood spilled down to set you and me free. And he wants to come in afresh tonight with a fresh vacation. God wants to set you free from pornography and bitterness and sickness and disease. Will you let him? Say yes to Jesus now. Thank you, Lord.
Just invite him into your heart. Ask him for a relationship. And ask him to forgive your sins and to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God.
It's a relationship. It's not religion. It's not a denomination. It's a one-on-one encounter with you and him. Who's closer to God? The guy who's in church every Sunday morning thinking about fishing, or the guy who's out fishing thinking about God? A lot of you have had a casual relationship with the Lord that just deepened right now. Don't go get into a good church. Ask the Lord where to go. That church might be a house church, but you're called to start one. Get a Bible, open it, let the Holy Spirit show you. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You just have to know Jesus. Get a mobile app, you'll grow quick. Amen. I'm David.
Joanna.
We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Bless you.